You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to gamesense.ab.ca.
Because officially now we're kind of into the final quarter of the season in Major Leagues of Baseball. And from the Deep Left Field podcast, also our writer at the Toronto Star, longtime analyst for the Toronto Blue Jays, Mike Wilner, joins us. And Mike, before we get to baseball, we're getting to the question of the day. Are you addicted to chapstick, or do you have natural lips? What are you doing?
I don't know that anyone's ever suggested I might have natural lips, but I have very rarely, if ever, used one of those like dry lip products, except for 30 years ago when they thought it was a good idea for me to go on Accutane, and it was not a good idea.
All right, so you're not carrying around lip balm or chapstick in on yourself, is what you're saying?
Nope.
No, okay.
Not that there's anything wrong.
No, we're trying to find out. We're doing like an unofficial poll on the show today, and there's quite a few people that are chappies, as we like to say. You've been covering the Jays for a long time. And Mike, I know obviously it's fun right now that, you know, they're an entertaining team, but that eighth and ninth innings yesterday might have been two of the most entertaining innings for a lot of reasons in the game yesterday, good and you know, and even bad, and that's what made it highly entertaining to watch.
Yeah, I mean, it was what more could you want from the last two innings of a baseball game? You know, two blown saves, a big game, big go-ahead home runs in the top of each of the eighth and ninth, a bullpen meltdown that was averted by the youngest member of the pitching staff getting his first big league save. I mean, it had everything. And that's, you know, the fact that the Blue Jays are playing so well and these games are so meaningful just adds to it. It's a lot, you know, there are games like that when your team is in fourth place, 17 and a half games out, but they certainly don't feel as big as that, for sure. And that felt incredible. It was just an incredible finish.
And, you know, what, like, I look at Hoffman, and it was funny because my buddy's a big baseball, and he just, as I text him afterward before the, you know, when Hoffman was coming in, and I said, hey, what do you make of, you know, a guy not pitching for a week? And he's like, well, he's probably going to be amped up, and if he's over-amped, he'll be pitching high. And then I watched it, and I was like, and he's throwing gas. And it wasn't like he was wild crazily, but he kept missing high. And so is that just a situation where, you know, you look at it as a one-off, or do you have any concern for Hoffman moving forward?
He had 10 walks all season before yesterday when he walked five. So I think it had way more to do with, like you said, not having pitched for a week than anything else. And, it, you know, it's a tough call as to when to use him, right? Because, yeah. And I talked about that today on the podcast. He hadn't pitched in the whole Colorado series, which I'm sure he kind of wanted to because he played there for so long, but all the games were blowouts. And then Friday, if you use him when you're losing, say, well, yeah, he needs the work. We got to get him in on Friday. Well, what if you need him Saturday and Sunday in close games? And then you won't be able to use him in both games. Then Saturday, when it's 9-0, you can say, all right, we'll just throw him in here for the bottom of the eighth to get sharp. But what if he throws 26 pitches on Saturday? And then when you need him Sunday, you don't have him. It's a really, really tough call to say, this is not a place where we would ordinarily use this pitcher, but we have to use him anyway when you don't have an off day coming up. So I don't know that there was nothing they could do, but it was really difficult to find a spot for him. And he very clearly could not find his release point yesterday.
Yeah. So, and that's really what it comes down to, right, is the mechanics where, for whatever reason, he's just, you know, maybe I've never been a closer. So, I don't know, like those guys are used to pitching 3-4 times a week, sometimes 5, depending on what pitch count they're on. And you just get into a, you know, creature of habit. And so, all of a sudden, you sit out a week. Like, I don't know when the last time he would have sat out a week and not played, unless he was hurt.
Right, and I'm not sure when that was. I think the All-Star break probably was. He pitched the game before the All-Star break, and then he pitched the Sunday after, but I think he might have pitched Friday night, too. I don't remember.
Okay.
But, yeah, these all these guys are creatures of habit, and they need regular work. You know, it's one of the concerns potentially about Ernie Clement now that Andrés Giménez is coming back from the injured list probably tomorrow. Ernie's played all but two games this year, and now he's going to go to the bench against most right-handed pitchers. And how's that going to affect him overall? So, it's you can't sit a reliever for a week and expect him to be sharp, even though they know that when they're called upon, they are required to be sharp.
Now, you mentioned Ernie Clement. He's going to go to the bench against the right-handed pitchers. But he's played there all year long, Mike, and he's hit pretty well. Like, Giménez is maybe probably a better defender, sure, but he's not close to the hitter. So where would you – like, would you go that strict, or would you look and say, man, like, this guy's been really good for us, and, you know, he just had that huge hit in that game. Like, I don't know – I don't know if I want to automatically put him on the bench just because we have another guy there who's not as good, especially at the plate.
Giménez's OPS against right-handers is actually 70 points higher than Clement.
Oh, okay.
Even in this terrible year for Giménez. But, yeah. I mean, I don't want to just throw him on the bench either. Like, this is the thing. Ernie's been kind of bad against right-handed pitching and great against lefty. The home run he hit yesterday was against the lefty, but he hit a home run against a righty earlier in the week, too. Mm-hmm. But this is just a natural thing. The Blue Jays love going with the platoon advantage. They love as many left-handed bats against right-handers and vice versa as possible. And, you know, it surprised me, too, when I saw it, that Giménez had actually performed significantly better than Clement against right-handers this season. Yeah. So I think that's why you do it. But I think you also have to find some ways to get him in there against righties. You can't go from playing absolutely every day to just playing twice a week, especially as important as he's been for them.
You look at what about the start? You know, there's lots of talk. They're going to go to a six-man rotation here when Shane Bieber comes up. What's your expectation of that? What's the concern, and what's the potential pros for it?
Well, the pros are that everybody in the Jays starting rotation, aside from Bieber and Eric Lauer, is old.
Yeah.
So, you know, that helps. And Jose Berríos has never missed a start in his life. Chris Bassitt and Kevin Gausman have been super reliable as Blue Jays. And Max Scherzer, since he's been back, has looked like Max Scherzer, but he's 41.
Yes.
These guys need a bit of a breather. The problem is giving them too much of a breather. It's the same almost as we're talking about with these everyday players, right?
Yeah.
You can't start a guy on 7 days rest or 8 days rest a couple of times. And with the off days that are going to pop up in the schedule in September, that might happen if they go to a straight six-man. So I think they're going to go to, you know, what we'll probably wind up describing as a modified six-man rotation. There will be a couple of weeks where there are too many off days, so they'll just throw Eric Lauer in the bullpen for that time, or they'll skip a Gausman, or they'll skip a Bassitt, or skip a Scherzer to give them 10 days and just give them that breather that they might not get until October. And I think that'll wind up helping them out. It's not going to be an easy balance, but I think they can figure it out.
Lauer is the obvious one for you then to go to the bullpen if they decide to go with five?
It has to be. I mean, even though he's been arguably their most effective starter, you can't – Berríos, Gausman, Bassitt, you just can't. You can't ask them to go to the bullpen. That's not what they've ever done, and it's not what they do. And, you know, Max Scherzer would probably kill you if you suggested that you throw him into the bullpen.
What are you hearing about Manoa?
He's steadily working back on his rehab. I you know, he's just moved to Double A. I don't think he's ready, and his 30 days are almost up. So in order to, you know, the way the rules are is when you start a pitcher on a rehab assignment, you get 30 days. And then he has to be called up or shut down for a week, and then you can start another 30 days. At least you can't pitch in front of paying fans for 7 days, I think is the actual rule. So I feel like that's what they're going to do with Manoa. After his next rehab start, he'll take a week off,
okay.
and then he'll get back at it, and he'll be an option in September. But I think, you know, they just moved Treya Savage up to Buffalo, their first-round pick last year, who's striking out 15 guys every nine innings in the minors. I think Savage is way more likely to pitch in the majors this year than Manoah at this point.
Okay. I was going to ask you about that young kid, and I was looking at his numbers. I'm like, oh, my God, like this guy's just striking out everybody. Was this quick of a progress expected for him this year?
It's never expected, right, but it's hoped for. I talked to him in spring training, and in spring training, there were people saying this guy's going to be in the big leagues this year. He'll pitch out of the bullpen in September if he's got innings left. And he's only thrown 80 and a third innings this year. He's got like 137 strikeouts.
Yes.
Something stupid
like
that.
Ridiculous number.
Yeah. So, you know, he'll go to Buffalo. He had been a starter all year long, but his last outing was out of the bullpen. And this was, I mean, it was five innings out of the bullpen, but it was out of the bullpen, and it was a way for them to say, okay, look, let's see if you can handle this timing, and, you know, you're going to have to get ready in-game. It's not something he's ever done, but if he gets called up, it's going to be what he has to do. And he went out, and he was great, and he pitched five innings, and he was wonderful. And you would think in Buffalo they're going to be shorter stints. There'll be an inning or two out of the bullpen, bigger spots later in games, see how he handles that. And if he's as good there as he was at the other three levels he's pitched at this year, I would not surprise me to see him in the big leagues in September.
Awesome. So yeah, part of the expanded roster, which would be fantastic for them, no question.
Well, remember, it's different now. The expanded roster is only two guys. You used to be able to call up 15.
Right.
But you only get one pitcher and one position player, so they have to really want it to be him if it's going to be him.
Now, they can call up that's all that they get now at the playoffs. Could they call anybody else up, or is it just that's what you're stuck with, those two?
No, in the playoffs, you go back down to 26.
Oh, right. Yeah, but, oh, right, because you change your roster each series, right?
You can change your roster however much you want, but you just can't do it in series. But between series, yeah, you can take guys on, put guys on, take guys off as much as you want.
And one last one for you, Mike. You mentioned the Barger home run yesterday, and here's a guy who just continues to come up big at big times. If you were looking at the ideal lineup for the Jays, is he your third baseman automatically?
He is against right-handed pitchers. Yeah, I think in the ideal lineup, he's the third baseman against righties, and your outfield against right-handers is probably Varsho, Lucas, and Loperfido. And you've got Springer DHing. And, yeah, I mean, Addison Barger at this point is undeniable. Again, at least against right-handed pitchers. He's just as bad against lefties as Ernie Clement is against righties. But you face righties way more often. And, I mean, yeah, he's done way more than anybody's expected. He's a legit middle-of-the-order big league bat, no question.
And what about George Springer? Right, he was is he having like extended concussion issues? Is that the delay?
The delay is that he hasn't passed all the tests.
Okay.
There's a very strict protocol from Major League Baseball that, you know, the team isn't allowed to ignore. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got to check every single box on the return to play plan in order to get back to rehab games. And he hasn't been able to do that. I haven't talked to him in a week since they've been on the road, but the last time I talked to him when the Jays were at home last week, he was feeling okay. He was hitting bombs in batting practice. He was running around. So there's got to be something that still isn't perfect, and you don't mess with the head, right? We've learned that over the years. So it's got to be perfect for him to get back. And hopefully that's tomorrow.
Yeah. Awesome stuff, Mike. I really appreciate it, buddy. Thanks so much for this. Enjoy the games.
All right. Anytime. Thanks for having me.
You bet you're there.